Hello, our dear podcast listeners. My name is Henry, and today I'll be talking about the movies that I have watched recently and have been memorable for me somehow. This episode will be a special one because this will be our first podcast ever spoken in English. Our previous episodes have been spoken in Finnish, so I'll start kind of new era in our podcasts with my rally English monologue. All of these movies I'm going to recommend are available from our library's collection as DVD or Blu-ray. The first one is a neo-noir style thriller, Bad Times at the El Royale. I watched this film at the movie theater back in the day, and if I remember correct, it was a premiere night for this film. But anyway, the film includes an all-star lineup with great actors Jeff Bridges, John Hamm, Chris Hemsworth, and Dakota Johnson, just to name a few. I went to see this movie quite extempore, but actually the main reason why I chose this one was John Hamm. I had just finished watching TV series Mad Men, and Hamm made an amazing role in the series as a mysterious advertising man called Don Draper, so I definitely wanted to see him starring on a big screen. The movie is directed by Drew Goddard, a man whose previous directing work was a satirical horror film Cabin in the Woods. This film is set in the end of 60s to a hotel called El Royale. The hotel used to be a successful place back in the day, but the place has a dark history. Four strangers arrive to a hotel: a salesman, singer, priest, and a rebellious young hippie girl. Everybody of them have their own secrets and motives why to stay in El Royale. True side of the hotel and the guests are starting to reveal soon, and the more the secrets reveal, the more things are also starting to get out of hand. I'm not going to spoil the plot for you anymore, so your listeners have some surprises to wait for. This movie was memorable for me, especially for its editing. I like the storytelling way, how the same events were rolling all over again, but from the different perspectives of the different characters. And I also love the music scenes where Foley sound effects and music were synchronized together in a funny way. Chris Hemsworth makes a great role in this film as a sadistic cult leader. The character was such infuriating, so I guess he did something right appearing on the screen. His role was also one of the main reasons why I didn't feel comfortable at all after finishing this movie. Although the only really negative thing I have to mention about Bad Times at El Royale was that it was a little bit too long for my taste. I think that it could have been possible to cut some minutes, especially from the end. But at the end, in overall, I think that it was quite an entertaining film. Bad Times at the El Royale has strong Quentin Tarantino vibes, like graphic violence and using retro music on the soundtrack. Well, the film is set in the 60s, so it was also a natural choice for using some music from that era. I think that people who like Quentin Tarantino's work should really check out this film. The next film on my list was one of the strongest viewing experiences I've ever had. And I'm talking about the movie called Capernaum. It was an Oscar Awards nominee for Best Foreign Film. The movie is a story about a young Lebanese boy called Zain. He's suing his parents for giving him birth to rough conditions where every day of your life is a survival fight. Zain is living a hard childhood in the slums of Beirut with his sisters. One of his sisters is forced to a child marriage for an adult man. This is a hard shock and the last nail in his coffin, so he runs away from home and starts to find a better life elsewhere. Zain meets Rahil, a single mom who works as a cleaner, and they become friends. Rahil offers Zain home, and Zain starts to take care of Rahil's baby boy called Jonas. Rahil suddenly disappears one day, and Zain is left alone with a baby. And Zain realizes that he has to use every single drop of his inventiveness that they will survive. The main actor, young boy Zain or Rafia, makes an outstanding main role. He is a natural. I have never seen a better child actor before. And also the story behind him is interesting because he is a Lebanese kid who has lived a hard life on the streets himself, so he really had some true perspective for this role. And this was his debut movie role, and I really hope to see him again on the big screen someday. And to mention and that the other child actors seen in movie were also very good. This was why Capernaum reminded me from a movie called Tana. Tana is an Australian version of Romeo and Juliet, but it's based in a true story of two lovers from different tribes. Although, well, the settings and the stories of these two movies are totally from different worlds, but it was this use of amateur actors that really made me amazed that how talented they could be. Capernaum is easily one of the best movies I have ever seen. It went straight to my top 5 list on the movies I've ever seen. And it's also the maybe the roughest one I have ever seen. And it really had a strong impact. And I really recommend this for everybody. The next one is the film that I have watched just recently. It was an Oscar winner drama comedy called Green Book. It won Oscars in the Academy Awards from Best Motion Picture of the Year, Best Performance by Actor in a Supporting Role, and Best Original Screenplay. And it was also nominee for Best Performance by Actor in a Leading Role and Best Achievement in Film Editing. It's loosely based on a true story in the early 60s about a friendship of successful black-skinned pianist Don Shirley and American-Italian bouncer Tony Vallelonga, a.k.a. Tony Lip. Dr. Don Shirley, he's a doctor because he's an educated man, is going on a concert tour to the deepest south of America, to the areas where racism was at its strongest in America. He needs a driver for himself who can handle potential difficult situations on a tour, and Tony Lip gets hired to the job. Both main actors, Viggo Mortensen as Tony Lip and Mahershala Ali as Dr. Shirley, they make amazing roles on the screen. Mortensen is an easygoing, really big mouth, and Ali is highly refined and such a polite person. Ali won an Oscar for his role, and Mortensen was also nominated. At the beginning of the movie, I was skeptical about Mortensen playing an American-Italian man, and I was not sure about his appearance that is this going to work. But after all, he handled the role very well. And hey, he's a professional actor, and it is his job to play characters who he isn't, so there was no need to hire Sylvester Stallone or Danny DeVito for this American-Italian role. the strong themes of this movie are racism, prejudice and facing them, and differences between social classes. These are not the most easiest themes for the movie to handle. For example, like the contrast of Dr. Shirley on the concert stage and outside of that. For example, we can see in the film that there were plenty of areas that black people were not allowed to go in the 60s in the Southern America. These are the scenes that are so unbelievable, and what makes them even more that you don't want to believe them is because they are based on a true events, on a true story. The name of the movie Green Book was taken from a real book called The Negro Motorist Green Book. It was a guidebook for African-American road trippers. In this movie, Tony and Dr. Shirley read guidance from that book from time to time. After all these strong themes, Green Book manages to be a feel-good movie because of the warm connection and friendship of these main duo characters. And this is the film I highly recommend for the people who love, who love road movies and movies about friendship, and for those who enjoy watching movies that has a deep message to tell. The last one on my list is a classic movie I watched quite recently. It was David Lynch's movie called Mulholland Drive. David Lynch is one of the most distinctive filmmakers on the planet. The first work by Lynch I ever watched was his iconical TV series from the early 90s, Twin Peaks, and I was truly amazed. I wonder why I haven't actually watched more of his films earlier, but I promise I'll take a look more of them when I have more spare time. One detail about the movie was I had this called aha experience in the movie. It was in the audition scene where Linda Scott's song I've Told Every Little Star was playing. And I had heard that song sampled in another song earlier, and it has stuck in my head. And after hearing the original version in Mulholland Drive, it was stuck to my head for days. But about the movie itself, Mulholland Drive is a highly respected movie. In 2016, it was voted as the best movie of this century in a poll made by BBC. The tagline of Mulholland Drive is a love story in the city of dreams. It's a, how would I describe it, as a surreal thriller movie about young actress Betty Elms living her dream and trying to make her breakthrough in Hollywood. She meets a mysterious woman called Rita who has been in a car crash and is having an amnesia. Together, they start to investigate Rita's identity and story behind what had happened. Mulholland Drive is also called one of the most overanalyzed movies of all time, and I can agree why. For me, the catchet of David Lynch's TV series and movies has been the mysterious, kind of unexplainable atmosphere they have. And like in other Lynch works, Mulholland Drive has very odd characters and events. And I think that the more you try to realize them, the more you get lost. And you never know if Lynch has some deeper knowledge himself why things are happening as they are, or why is that character acting like that, or is it just because he's just trying to make viewers confused just because he can. I don't know. You better find it yourself. And watch the movie. For those who are trying to realize that what is this whole movie about? There's within the original DVD release, there's a card titled David Lynch's 10 Clues to Unlocking This Thriller. I will read these clues. These clues are: number one, pay particular attention in the beginning of the film. At least two clues are revealed before the credits. And number two, notice appearances of the red lampshade. Number three, can you hear the title of the film that Adam Kesher is auditioning actresses for? Is it mentioned again? Number four, an accident is a terrible event. Notice the location of the accident. Number five, who gives a key and why? Number six, notice the robe, the ashtray, the coffee cup. Number seven, what is felt, realized, and gathered after club silencio? Number eight, did talent alone help Camilla? Number nine, note the occurrences surrounding the man behind the winkies. Number 10. Where is Aunt Ruth? Myself, I didn't pay attention for the clues because I actually read the clues after I had watched the film. But you can try yourself. That do you want to keep these clues? I don't know. Is it gonna ruin the experience, or is it gonna make you realize that what is this thriller about? But anyway, I think that Mulholland Drive was one of the most confusing, but also one of the best films that I have seen. These were the films that I will recommend for you. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we'll be back right after 2 weeks. I don't know if the next episode will be in Finnish or English. Let's see. Bye-bye.